Welcome to the New Freedom Church podcast. This podcast will help you grow deeper in your faith through weekly 30-minute talks. If you haven't already done so, go ahead and hit that subscribe button so you get each new episode as it's released. Now sit back and relax as God speaks to you through this message.
He is risen. He is risen indeed. Resurrection Sunday is that one time a year where we gather corporately around the world to celebrate that Jesus is alive. And it punctuates a promise that we find in God's word, that Jesus, being the first fruits of those who have risen from the dead, for all of those whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord to put their believing loyalty, their trust, their faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord, they will rise again. This is the promise, the resurrected life. This is our future. The four accounts historically that detail the life of Jesus, we know them as the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each of them give us a little different glimpse of what this resurrection story looks like. There are very few things that are recorded in all of the four biographies of Jesus' life, but this is one of them. It tells us that on that day, on the first day of the week, that the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty and Jesus was alive. I want to share with you this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27 and 59. I believe there are some takeaways here that we can really apply to our own lives in this day and in this hour. It says, "And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen shroud and laid it in a new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he," that is Joseph of Arimathea, "he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. He thought surely it was over. It was finished. Jesus died on the cross. He is now in this tomb. He rolled the stone and he walked away." Many have heard and seen and tasted of the news of Jesus, and something in their life was difficult. Something in their life was hard. Something caused them to simply accept it in mind, but walk away. The Bible tells us a whole lot about stones. It says here that a great stone was rolled in front of the tomb. You can go all the way through Scripture and find how stones are used as pivotal points in people's lives and in telling of the story, the great arc, the narrative of God reaching out to lost and dying humanity. We see that it was on two tablets of stone that Moses went up into the mountain, that he heard the voice of God, that he was so overcome and overwhelmed by the presence of God, that his face shone, that they had to put a veil over his face because the people feared this man has surely been with the Lord. And he brings back two tablets, stones. On each side were written the Ten Commandments, driven there by the very finger of God. Stones are very important in the Bible. We also know that stones were used to cover up wells. You can read all throughout Genesis how they would go from place to place taking their flocks and their sheep, and they would go to a well, and sometimes those wells were dry and they had to move on, but other times there would be a stone that would be rolled in front of the well because inside of that well was living water. It was life for their flock and for their families. And so there were stones that were rolled in front of the well so that things that were of life-giving would be kept safe. We read in the Scriptures how that stones were fastened on Aaron, the high priest, on his ephod, that precious stones were polished and they were made to specification for times of worship to represent how God was moving through an entire tribe and in family, and all of the 12 tribes were represented there, these precious stones upon the garment. You can ask a little shepherd boy named David about what it was like reaching down into this stream and gathering five smooth stones, and how that just one of those smooth stones was put in the skillful hand of a little shepherd boy named David as he loaded his sling, and he said to that mighty giant Goliath, "How dare you defy the armies of the living God? The Lord of Israel today is going to fight my battles." And he slung that stone and fell that great giant. Stones have so many great symbolic memories for us. Of course, we know about the stone that was rolled in front of the tomb, but the most fascinating Old Testament stones, my favorite, are the memorial stones. We read these in Joshua chapter 4. And Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the ark of the Lord," that is the presence of God before the Lord, "into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone and put it upon your shoulder." The 12 tribes, he's speaking to the tribes leaders here, said, when you go into that water, pick up a stone and put it on your shoulder, one for the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. Everybody say a sign. That this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in the time to come, what do these stones mean to you? See, stones were meant to make a marker, a memorial. It was something to be an object lesson. And so what Joshua is doing here is he's walking over the Jordan, and it says that when they get into the water, there's water there, that they pick up the stones, and the people, as the ark goes through, they pass through on dry land. This is not the first time that this kind of miracle ever happened. In fact, this is the second time. This is coming into the promised land. They were leaving Egypt. They were on their flight from deliverance of Egyptian slavery, and we know that Moses stood before the Red Sea, and what happened? The waters were parted, and the people walked on dry land. And now this is the second time that such a miracle has taken place. And Joshua was told by God, make sure that you take something with you on the other side. Set up some memorial stones, because there will come a day when your children are going to ask, when your posterity and your generations to come are going to wonder, what is it that these stones mean? Then you tell them about how that the Jordan was parted and the people walked on dry land. But it is a second telling of the great story of God's deliverance of his people out of Egyptian bondage, the Passover. Jesus, our new Moses, is our Passover lamb, leading us out of bondage of sin and slavery of sin, and we have new life in Jesus because he became that perfect sacrifice. Amen. Stones are so vital to the Christian epic. Stones are so important to the believer's story, understanding what they mean. And this is also for us a precursor that what happened on that first resurrection Sunday, that Jesus was just the first fruits, and that what God has done, God will do. Just like parting the Red Sea and then the Jordan, what God has done, he will do. Just like raising Jesus from the dead, all who say yes to him by faith shall also rise again. When we die, we go to be with the Lord. Our bodies go into a tomb, but we shall not stay there. There is a great getting up morning. It's called the great resurrection, and we have hope of eternal life with God. It is a precursor that what God has done, God will do again. But stones, I think about stones. This story is all about the rolling of a stone, and stones are hard. If you think about a stone, stones in their natural form, sometimes they can be pretty, but often they're jagged and they're rough and they're not comely to look upon. They're ugly. There's nothing really great about a stone. And we look at stones and sometimes we pray, God, give me a blessing. God, give me a miracle. God, I want a breakthrough. And instead we find ourselves facing a hard place, a place facing a stone in our own lives, facing something that seems impossible, immovable, something that we cannot do on our own. And I want to tell you that God can still use stones. Maybe you have some stones in your life. Maybe there are some things in your life that you're just not really sure what you're to do with. Well, if God has given you the opportunity, and I call it an opportunity, to have a stone, that could just be some raw material that he's polishing in your hand to load up in your sling and to offer it unto God to fell the enemy that is in front of you. If God has given you the opportunity to have a stone, maybe you need to be like Jacob. He had nothing else to lay his head on, and he looked around in the wilderness, and he knew that he was on the run and that God was doing something in his life, but it didn't feel comfortable. It didn't feel right. He wasn't sure if he should go right or left or go forward, what he should do, and he looked down, and there was a stone, and he said, well, I'm tired. I guess I'll just lay my head on this stone. Some of you need to take the stone in your life, and you need to sleep on it. You just need to sleep on it. You just need to rest your head and say, God, you can do this, and I cannot do this. Maybe there's something in your life that God has blessed you to be able to overcome and to go through, and you're to set that as a memorial, a marker, not to look down upon the fact that something bad has happened in your life, but to say, God, I'm going to offer this as a stone unto you. And maybe there are some stones in your life that God wants to polish, that God wants to make beautiful in his own time. You know, some stones on the exterior don't look like much. Some stones on the outside can just be easily cast aside, but if you would take it to a jeweler, if you would take it to a professional, someone who knows how to polish and to cut and to make it into a beautiful vessel or a instrument that people would want to purchase, there are amazing things that people can do when they polish those rough exteriors and they cut it in such the right way that it glimmers and it looks different every time you twist it and every time you turn it. And sometimes God will take something that looks rough in your life and he'll make it beautiful. As he polishes it, he makes it a stone of beauty, a stone of honor, a stone sought after by people that they will buy at a great price because of how that someone with a skillful hand has polished that stone. And can I tell you that we serve a God with a skillful hand? He can polish even the rough exteriors of your life, even the things that are hard and difficult. If you offer them to God, then God will polish them. God will make something of them that you never thought possible. And if you can't do anything else with your stones, then just build an altar. Just bring them to God and stack together a whole bunch of those stones and build an altar and say, right here I stake my claim. God, this is the place where I will worship and I will pray and I will wait until you come through. God uses stones. In this story, we see that there is a stone to tell us something. And often stones were used to teach a lesson or maybe to protect something that is valuable like the water. But in this story, I believe that the stone was rolled in front of the tomb of Jesus for two reasons. Number one, it was rolled in there with an intent from the Roman officers that no one could get in there. They were trying to keep people out. But the other intent was that there were some people who knew their scripture and they also knew what Jesus said, and they rolled the stone in front of that tomb to keep someone in. They had heard that he said, you destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And then he talked about what he meant was that his own body. And so they rolled a stone, number one, to keep his disciples from getting in and stealing him, but I believe a spiritual dimension was there. The heavenly host of wickedness, the spiritual darkness of that day was trying to make sure we're going to put a stone here to keep Jesus in. But we read this. Notice in the text I read, it was Joseph of Arimathea who rolled the stone in front of the tomb and walked away. Now, I take from that, there are some things that man can get you into. There are some things that you have gotten you into, but you can't get you out of. There are some things that while man can roll the stone and man can get you into, it's only God who can get you out of. And in this case, it was only the Spirit of the living God that could bring Jesus to life again. And God rolled away that stone. Matthew tells us this about Joseph, but Mark gives us a little bit different telling in 16:1. It says, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him very early in the morning on the first day of the week. They came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, listen to the dialogue. They said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of this tomb for us? These three female disciples were simply doing a thankless service for their Lord. They simply were coming to mourn. They were coming in order to do a service that not many people wanted to do, but they, little did they know, were about to be the eyewitnesses to the greatest miracle of all time. And being a follower of Jesus, I want to tell you that there are times when you just need to keep doing what you're doing. There are times in which there are silence and dry seasons and moments where it feels like you are just going through the motions of a thankless service. Does anybody even recognize? Does anybody even notice what I'm doing? But these three women came with a heart intent that they were not looking for praise of man. They were not looking for accolades of people. They were simply doing a service for the Lord. And so I want to encourage you today, stay faithful. No service, no discipline, no prayer goes unnoticed by God. He sees and he knows. And notice what they ask. They had already prepared everything that they could. They had the spices. They went to do the job and they said, oh, we're here. Who's going to roll the stone away for us? Now, I find oftentimes in life that ladies have an easier time asking for help than some of us guys. Or even for directions. Come on, guys, you know what I'm talking about. Ladies are usually fine to say, hey, can you help me get that? It's up there. You know, they usually ask me to get tall stuff. Things are up on high shelf. I'm sorry, I always get asked that all the time. So I go get my ladder, you know, tippy toes. But it never dawned on them that what they were doing was going to be met with such resistance that they couldn't finish the job. Sometimes you and I never even start something for the Lord because we want A to Z all figured out. But oftentimes what I have found in walking with God is that God will tell me A and he'll reveal Z, but somehow conveniently he leaves out L-M-N-O-P. And I'm like, God, if you just give me all the instructions, if you just show me the whole map, if you will tell me everything, then I'll do it. And God says, oh, no, no, my ways are way above your ways. If I told you the whole thing in between, you would run so fast, you would never want to do it. You would have never said, yes, here am I, send me, I will go. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You say yes, you're excited, you sign up for something, and then you realize, oh, there's an on-the-job training to this too. It's not all in the manual. Oh, someone left out these other pieces of the extra work that goes with this. But these women prepared the spices. They came to the tomb that day. And I love this. They came with their best, even realizing that it was not going to be enough. Can you bring God your best, even knowing in your mind it's not going to be enough? And this is what faith does. Faith says this, I'll do my best. And I'm going to trust God with the rest. I'm going to do what I can do, and then God will do what only he can do. Amen. These women came to this tomb. They showed up. And then it says in verse 4, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. Why does this keep being emphasized in the scripture? It's telling us this because it was easy for one man downhill to roll this thing in place. But it was not the job of one person to roll it out of place, especially even a strong guy couldn't do this. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed and in long white robes sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Fact. Right, that happened. Your eyes didn't deceive you. Jesus was crucified. Next, he is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Go, tell his disciples, watch this, and Peter, that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. Who moved the stone? Who moved the stone? Wait a minute, wait a minute. Jesus was crucified. I watched him go in the tomb. Joseph of Arimathea's borrowed tomb rolls the stone. I come with the spices. Now I'm wondering, okay, who's going to roll this stone? It's very large. It's not a one-man job. Oh, the stone has been rolled away. Who rolled the stone? God moved the stone. God still moves stones. God is in the moving business today. He still moves stones. It was the Lord's hand. It was God's work. It wasn't the hand of man. Now watch this. These three ladies became the first evangelist of the gospel to tell his disciples and thereby the entire world of the risen King. Can you believe it? In this culture, women couldn't even testify publicly in court, but yet Jesus saw fit not to bring the 12, but to bring the three. He brought the two Marys in Siloam to his tomb so that this revelation could be given. And here's the instructions. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he's not here, but he is risen. Now watch verse 7. It would occur to me that Peter was also one of the disciples, was he not? Yet the scripture says that the angel tells them to go and inform the disciples, and oh yeah, don't forget Peter. Calls out Peter by name as if there needed to be a reminder that he was in the original 12. They were already down one disciple. Judas was gone. He had already hung himself. And now Peter has to be noticed and recognized by name. I think this is a beautiful picture. That Peter, the denier, Peter, the drifter, Peter, the sellout, Peter, the one who turned his back on his Lord after promising, I'll never deny you, denies Jesus. And here's what the angel said, oh, don't forget to go tell Peter. Make sure that you include Peter. With the other disciples, bring Peter too. And here's what it's saying, for every wayward heart, for every lonely soul, for every sojourner that has drifted, Jesus is saying to you, come home, come home. For every prodigal, come home. For every person who's ever thought, I've sinned so far, I can't get back, he's saying, come home. Even Peter, the denier, the one that turned his back, that said, I don't even know him, says, come home. Peter, you're welcome. There is a place at the cross for every one of us. There is a place at the cross for everyone. For whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to tell you, the greatest announcement in all of human history, we would think in a sense that from the cross when Jesus bled and died and stretched out his arms and said, it is finished. That is a great statement. But it is not the greatest statement. The greatest statement in all of human history that's ever been spoken is this. He is risen. He is not here. He is alive forevermore. That is the greatest statement. But why? Get this. It's the greatest statement because it gives us entry into the new life that we all desire. Into the living hope that Jesus, our elder brother, Jesus, our great high priest, Jesus, our scapegoat, Jesus, our Passover lamb, Jesus, our new Moses, the second Adam, Jesus did for us what we couldn't do ourselves. We couldn't roll the stone. There's stones in our lives we can't even really know what to do with ourselves, but Jesus, risen, gives us hope. That we too will rise again. In that great getting up morning, we too will rise again. With heads bowed and no one looking around, this is between you and God. I'm not gonna ask you to come forward, but I am gonna ask you to acknowledge in your heart and in your mind the Lord God. I'm gonna pray a prayer. And if this has resonated with you, if there are some things in your life that you would like to surrender to God, that you would like to turn over to him today, then I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want you to acknowledge God in your heart and say, God, there are some things that I can't deal with and I need your help. And if you have never said yes to Jesus, today is the day. I say it with a smile on my face, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not, listen, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is the Easter message. Let's pray. Dear God, I come to you today, a worshiper of heart, a sinner in nature. I give you my life. I confess my sin. Lord, I say I'm sorry. I repent. I give my life to you. Take these stones. Take this raw material. I've messed things up. I've drifted. I've gone astray. I've even denied you at times. But today I come back. I ask you to roll away the stone. That hard thing in front of my heart It's caused me not to see you. I want to see you. Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord.